What am I missing?
Chase has selected today's musical theme.
What is this? Is this a tie-in to our next guest?
No.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I was like, what am I missing here? Vols, Gamecocks, South Carolina.
I think it just hit Chase. It just hit him right in the face. He wanted some...
Whitney Houston. What
Whitney
am I missing
Houston.
Here?
Like women of the 80s and 90s.
Oh, okay.
Women of the 80s
and
90s.
Oh, so that's the theme today.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that really narrows it down. 20 years of women singers. But who was it that really sparked you? Was it Whitney?
It was Whitney.
It was the late Whitney Houston.
That's fine. I just was like, what am I missing on talking about the Gamecocks and Whitney Houston?
I was listening to some radio yesterday, on my phone, actually, and Whitney came on, and I was like, okay, this could be good.
Why don't we just go all Whitney? We could go all Whitney.
Okay, let's go all Whitney. We'll go all Whitney.
We're okay.
Let's move on before people start saying, you know what, I can't take this any longer. Phil Kornblut, Sports Talk South Carolina. He talks about the Gamecocks all the time. Phil, how you doing? Good to talk to you again.
Doing great. How are you guys?
Well, just thank you for hanging on there, because I thought maybe you might bail with this introduction.
No. I like me some Whitney Houston, man.
So the Vols made news this week whenever it was put out there that they're going to go with the redshirt freshman coming off their bye week in Jarrett Garantano. Interesting game. And then they're in the same spot as they were last year. They were coming out of the bye week. They had lost two in a row, and, of course, they lost to South Carolina in Columbia. So here they are again, coming out of a bye week, losers of a drubbing at home, and they've got South Carolina again. But that was a heck of a win against Arkansas. That really got my attention. Not that they beat Arkansas, but in the fashion that they beat the Razorbacks.
Yeah, it was a Will Muschamp victory, the kind of win he likes to get, a dominating defense, a defense that created turnovers, and they got the benefit of scoring off the turnovers, got their running game going, and after a shaky start, Jake Bentley settled in, had a nice finish throwing the football. And, you know, they have not had many breathers in Muschamp's time at South Carolina. A lot of very close losses, and the wins have been narrow as well for the most part. So he could finally sort of take the headsets off in the fourth quarter and relax a little bit. So the feeling around South Carolina after that win is that they're on the uptick. They're getting better by the game. Players have balled in, and now they're starting to understand the things that Muschamp and his staff have been coaching them up on over the last year and a half.
You know how this works, Phil. You get to the midpoint of a college football season, and injuries start to mount. It's always inevitable every year. Usually the better teams survive. They don't have the big blows. Where is South Carolina right now on the injury front?
For a couple of weeks there, they were really shaky on the offensive line. Three starting offensive linemen were down, and they're still not back totally. Two will travel with the team with a chance to play. Zach Bailey, who would be the right tackle, and Corey Helms, who would be the right guard. Malik Young, another tackle, remains out. So they're getting a little bit healthier there. Of course, the big blow was a couple of weeks ago, Deebo Samuel going down with his injury. He remains out. They're hoping, crossing their fingers, they can get him back in the last couple of weeks of the season. Of course, he was off to a phenomenal start. I believe he had five touchdowns in the first couple of three games. So they miss him dearly. And then last week, one of their tight ends, a valuable player, Casey Crosby, went down with a similar injury, and he's done for the season. So those are the main ones for them. Defensively, they've been pretty fortunate that they're healthy, especially they're thin in the secondary. Their secondary's playing very well. They're thin back there, but they're healthy right now, and that's something that Muschamp is he's crossing his fingers about there as well, because if he can keep that starting group and that top five healthy and on the field in their secondary, he feels like he's got a good group.
I said at the beginning of this that Tennessee has made the decision to switch quarterbacks. I believe it was this time last year before this game when Will Muschamp decided to do the same thing, and this is when we had our first look at Jake Bentley. Where is Jake Bentley from back at the beginning when he first got the start, which I think was this spot right here, and the rest of his first season to where he's at in year two?
Well, actually, he made his first start in Game 7 for South Carolina last year. They opened 2-4. They had a bye week. Then they played UMass, and that's when he started. Tennessee came in the next week.
Okay, so he had
Tennessee
a start.
Was his
okay.
Second game.
All right, so that was
yeah,
the second game.
He had a start
game.
Against UMass, and he had a very good game against Tennessee last year. He was the numbers weren't huge. He was 16 of 20 for about 200 yards and a touchdown. He was sacked six times, and I think what impressed people was how he kept getting knocked down by that very good Tennessee defense and getting right back up and without knowing the playbook. Now, you're talking about a guy last year who should have been in high school. And so in a two-week period when they decided to start him, they had to force-feed him the playbook. And, of course, he was limited the entire rest of that season with what he could do. They could not use the entire playbook. They couldn't audible because he didn't know it. So to answer your question, he's come a million miles from that. He knows the offense inside and out. He can change plays at the line of scrimmage. He can do the RPO stuff. So he's a much more complete quarterback. And he's having a good year, 60% passing, about 1,400 yards, protecting the football for the most part. They did work with him this week on some things technically. He's been overthrowing his passes, especially early in games, and he cited happy feet for that. Something, you know, in the summer he worked a lot on movement in the pocket. He feels like it's led to some happy feet and not keeping his feet quiet. So they worked on that this week to see if that will remedy that situation and he can get off to a better start throwing.
We're talking to Phil Kornblut from Sports Talk South Carolina, breaking down the Gamecocks and the Vols coming up tomorrow. And Phil, Will Muschamp has really had a lot of success against Tennessee, and he also looks like he's taken a step forward in just how to run a program. Tell me what you see in terms of his maturity. He's still a pretty young guy. He's very fiery, which is one of the reasons he got to where he was. But I thought for a while he had to really work on keeping things in check. What do you think has helped him improve and do such a good job at South Carolina?
Well, I think he realized that he was given a life rope by Ray Tanner in the coaching world. I mean, how many guys get fired at an SEC school and then are back as a head coach at an SEC school two seasons later, you know, sitting out 1 year as a, well, he was an assistant in Auburn for 1 year, and then the next year he gets the chance to come to South Carolina. So he still has that same fire. Now, maybe he's his demeanor on the sideline is a little bit calmer than what it was during his assistant days and maybe when he was down in Florida. But he still has that fire and that determination. And, you know, he is, I think, doing things the right way. He's recruiting as hard as he can. They're giving him everything that they possibly can give him. I mean, South Carolina has some attributes to its program, and it's got some built-in negatives to the program that you have to overcome as a coaching staff. And so, you know, they're trying to do the best that they can along those lines, knowing that when it comes to recruiting and attracting attention and attracting talent, they've got that monster 2 hours up the road called Clemson that's just you know, riding high right now. So he's trying to build his program from the inside out via recruiting and getting the best players that he can. And just sticking with his philosophies. And, you know, if the Arkansas game is any indication, then they are making progress and starting to benefit from that. That's why I think tomorrow's game is certainly a swing game for both of these programs. You know, one is being viewed on the way up right now, that'd be the Gamecocks, and one is being viewed as on the way down right now, that'd be the Vols. As we all know in college football, it's a week-by-week perception. And if South Carolina goes in and wins tomorrow and beats Tennessee for the second year in a row, that could be it for Butch Jones because we know what's coming up next week for the Vols. On the other hand, if Garantano goes out there and plays a great game and they're able to get Kelly going running the football and they pull off a nice win, that could change the entire perception of things. So, again, it's a week-by-week thing, but you know, South Carolina feels like that they're moving in the right direction. And you know, there were some people who were skeptical when Muschamp was hired because it appeared Tom Herman was going to be the guy and Muschamp was a fallback guy. But, you know, sometimes, you know, the guy, you know, it's not your first choice. It turns out to be the best. It could be that second or third guy who comes in and gets it done. And, you know, if Muschamp doesn't succeed at South Carolina, it won't be for a lack of trying and having all the resources necessary to win.
Phil, I've always felt every time I've been to a game at South Carolina, I just marvel at the following that they've had, considering that, you know, in the tradition, they've got a very good tradition, but they don't have maybe a Texas or a, you know, an Alabama, whatever you want to talk about at the top of the top, but they have a fan base that is like that. So I'm curious, you mentioned Clemson. Clemson's right now riding on a high note, on a high wave, and for a long time, not too long ago, South Carolina was beating Clemson every year. How do the fans manage expectations with all of that?
You mean the fans at South Carolina?
Yeah, basically, because you know they've had a run where they've done well against South Carolina. But as you said, Will Muschamp's only in his second year. So how patient will they be? How much time does he have to try to get back up to where they start beating Clemson again?
I would say that he's got a pretty lengthy rope here because Ray Tanner hired him, and he's going to give him every opportunity to build the program and become successful. I don't think there's any rush to judgment here as far as Tanner and the administration goes. Now, forget about the fans, okay? I mean, like I said, it's a week-to-week perception. If you win this week, they're going to love you. When they lost out at Texas A&M, they had a lead. They couldn't hold on in the fourth quarter. And, of course, everybody on Twitter and on social media, they were ready to run him out of town. He can't do this. If he can't win at Florida, what makes you think he can win at South Carolina? That kind of stuff. So, but I think the cooler heads over at South Carolina understand what he's going through and what he's trying to build. And so I think he's got plenty of time here to get it together and show what he can do. I mean, what's the shelf life of any coach who's trying to build a program? After about 3 years, people want to see progress. So, you know, he came in a complete mess last year with what happened at the end of Spurrier's time, and he squeezed out 6 wins from that team, changing quarterbacks at midseason with a kid who should have been in high school and still got him to a bowl game and nearly won the bowl game. But people, of course, remember getting embarrassed by Clemson. You know, in his time at South Carolina, he has never – only one game had they lost where they were completely annihilated and blown out, and that was the Clemson game last year. And
you mean the team that won the national championship?
Exactly, yeah. And they were just completely overmatched with Clemson. And they may be overmatched with Clemson when they come to Columbia in November, but I don't think it'll be a 50-point game this time. And that's one thing that – you know, Muschamp took that loss very personally last year, and to this day, he has not let that loss leave his system. So he's driven by that, which is, you know, if you're South Carolina, that's a good thing. So, you know, I think Ray Tanner, having been a former coach, is going to be patient and give him his opportunity to build this thing the right way to put some foundation there where it's a long-lasting success. And I think Muschamp, I think he's at the point in his life and his career where if he builds it at South Carolina, he's not going to up and leave. I mean, he's appreciative of this opportunity. He can let his kids grow up here. He bought about a $3 million house out on the lake. He's got a great life out there. And he's a pretty popular fellow right now. So I don't think there's going to be any rush to judgment on the administration's part in terms of what he's doing. I think they see progress, and they're willing to give him the chance to build it.
Jeez, $3 million house. I should have got into coaching. I should have done that.
And I might be undervaluing that a little bit, too. That's just off the top of my head.
Hey, good stuff. Thanks for doing this, as always. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, anytime, guys. Have a great weekend, and we got Vandy coming to Columbia in a couple of weeks, so if you need anything on that, let me know.
I was going to say, we'll probably check back then. Phil Kornblut.
You got it.
Sports Talk South Carolina. Gamecocks and Vols. It'll be 11 o'clock kickoff. It's the early game, Central Time, in Knoxville. We will come back and wrap up the first hour of 3D. We'll do that next.